the designated offerings. We know that we find in the Old Testament there was such a thing as a burnt offering. We talked about that and just read about it. There was a peace offering. There's a transgression. And there was a thank offering. And these offerings were devised by the Lord that men would be able to express their love and adoration and appreciation to the Lord for what He had done for them. Some of them were devised so that men would know how to deal with their sin. But we do know this, offerings had designation. These offerings that had designation were either accepted or rejected by God. You recall that Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. One was accepted, the other was rejected. Cain brought an offering that was made of the field or that which had grown in his garden. And Abel brought the firstling of the flock. His offering was accepted. Cain's offering was rejected. One was invented by human heart. The other was invented by a divine heart. One was given as a prerequisite for man approaching God. And that's what Abel did. Abel gave an offering that was pleasing, and Abel gave an offering that was accepted by the Lord. Now, certainly, that ought to be our desire this morning, that we could do something, that we could give something that be well accepted by the Lord. Now, the Lord gave some indication of His acceptance, and He gives some kind of means that the people in whom we're giving these offerings could relate to. But there's an expression that is found in the Scriptures, and we find it here in Leviticus, where these offerings are made. First of all, these offerings are made. They were a free will offering. They were a voluntary offering. They were not something that God devised that He was demanding that they give to Him. But it was something that men would give by their own free will. Now, I'm thankful the Lord has devised in His Word, there's something I can do to please Him by my own free will. I'm glad the Lord has devised offerings that can be given to Him by their free will, and it'll bring pleasure to Him. But the Lord gives this expression as to His satisfaction and accepting of this offering. Not all offerings have this reality or have this response of God. But notice what it says about this burnt offering. It says, "And the priest shall burn all on the altar, and be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." This expression, a sweet savor unto the Lord, that expression is not with every offering. Every offering that was made in the Bible did not have this indication and this response of God as a sweet savor of the Lord. But there was some. And most of the offerings that are made that gave a measure and an obvious sacrifice that was pleasing the Lord, this expression was given. It was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now we know that expression has to do with the scent. It has to do with a sense that we can relate to. We can relate to the sense of hearing. We can relate to the sense of seeing, and we can relate to these things the Lord has given us. But the Lord here is using an expression, a sweet savor of the Lord. There's something that men can do to bring about this statement of the Lord. It brings to Him an expression of a sweet savor of the Lord. Now we'll go on in this thought, but this idea of the Lord being pleased or expressing with a sweet savor of the Lord carries on into the Scriptures, and it carries on into the New Testament. And I want you to look with me, please. Maybe jot this verse down, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. It says this, and it's speaking of our Savior, "Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The Bible reveals that God was so pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His Son, that He expresses it as He expressed it in the Old Testament when sacrifice were made for sin, that He says it brought about a sweet-smelling savor to God. Now we say that's wonderful, what they did and how God expressed His appreciation, His acceptance of an offering. We see that in the Old Testament as those individuals brought their offerings and the offering was slain and offered on the altar of burnt sacrifice. And the Bible says that God was well pleased But are there some things in the Bible, in the New Testament, that refer to the Christian? Those of us today, would the Lord ever give indication that He was so pleased with us that He would say it brought about an odor or a sweet savor to His nostrils? It's an amazing thing. That thought that God would give that expression to the Old Testament individuals that brought something that pleased Him and accepted it. But it was a high expression of His pleasure. It was a high expression of His acceptance. Now, may it be that we can come to church and we give to the Lord, there'd be some indication the Lord would say, I'm real pleased with what you're doing today. I'm real pleased with what you're giving to me. You know, the Bible gives us indication in the life of a Christian. The Bible reveals that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered up for the provision of redemption brought to God a high pleasure. It brought a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. God was so pleased with His Son. In fact, He stated that, did He not? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Son said, I do always those things which please Him. There was a relationship between God the Father and God the Son. God the Son was always pleased with His Son. And God the Son was always pleased with His Father and sought to please Him. And yet the Bible says when Jesus hung on the cross, it pleased Him. It pleased God to smitten Him. And He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgression. And the Bible says this one that God was pleased with, He was pleased to smote Him. He was pleased to place upon Him our sins for our redemption. I'll tell you this morning, God is yet pleased. He'll always be pleased. He was pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ in His perfection. He was pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ in His provision. And He's pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ at this very hour. He sits on the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. He is the God and He's the Lord of lords. We know all of that. But when we come to church and we give our offerings to the Lord, where do we begin? How can we know that our offerings and those things we give to the Lord bring about a sweet savor to our God? May I suggest to you that God's still looking for sacrifice that He can be well pleased with? You recall in Romans chapter 12, of course you do. I'm not talking to novices today. I'm talking to people that have walked with the Lord. Some of you walked with the Lord. Some of you are older than I am. Now I find that helpful sometimes that I can find people that are older than me in this day and hour. But lots of you are younger. But I'm telling you, some of you have been saved longer than I've been saved. You've given to the Lord. So I'm not talking to novices this morning. You understand what it is to please the Lord. You understand that God can be pleased with some things. But God, let me say to you, God's still looking for sacrifice. He never gets used to having this experience of His people acknowledging Him with sacrifice. Now, we don't bring animals. We don't bring the firstling of the flock. We don't find the Paschal lamb and take it and cut the throat and pour out the blood and put it on and then sacrifice it on the burnt offering. We don't do that today, but there is an offering. Jesus made the offering for us, but there's offerings that we can make. And may God help us to see that it's essential. May God help us to see it's important. May God help us to see that it's sacred when we sacrifice to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What is that next word? Acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that perfect, right? That perfect and acceptable will of God. You know that word acceptable is the realization that God is pleased when we sacrifice our lives for Him. Some have literally done that physically. We've mentioned some of them this week. But the world in religious history and Christian history is rich with those that literally gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some foreign field, they've given their lives over. They've either spent their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ in some field like David Livingstone dying at 60 years old. But they've given their lives. When we stop to think about what we give and what we've given, we fall so short. I know I fall so short in comparison with those. But I have to tell you this, I think every Christian should realize and come to the place where we can give ourselves God's not looking for us to sacrifice our bodies physically in death. He's looking for those that will give a sacrifice. He's saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God is looking for those that will live for Him. And there's a great need for that today, that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people living for Christ. Young people giving their lives and energy to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord reveals He's real pleased with that. But remember our text. Would you go with me to the book of Philippians, please? We have spent some time in this book. We have spent some time in this book this week, and I haven't taught you folks anything. We just reiterated some things that are truth that comes out of this book. But I want you to see in Philippians chapter 4 and what is stated here in this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. It refers to their response to Him and their assistance to Him. And we find these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were uncareful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Here Paul talks about these folks communicating with him. That, as we talked about this past week, that had to do with them sharing their assets or sharing their money or sharing those things that would fulfill or would provide the needs, his essential needs. Paul found this church to be a church that was missionary minded. It was mindful of his needs. It not only had an interest in where he went, but their support followed him. And it followed him all the way to the next place, Thessalonica. And Paul found while he was there, even in the trials that he was having, even in the battles he was having there, even in the shortage, he found something following him, and it was the support of God's people. Nothing more encouraging in the heart of a missionary than a church that follows them to the field. Now, we can't follow them literally, but we can follow them with our prayers. We can follow them with our provisions. And may God give us such a uniting with those that go out from us and go to the places of the world, that they'd feel connected with us, knowing that we know where they are and who they are and what they're doing, and we're genuine interest. But that not only our prayers follow them, but our provision follows them. That was the case in this church. The Philippi church was following. But I want you to see, not only did Paul appreciate what they were doing, not only did Paul appreciate that they were doing something to fulfill his needs in his life, but I want you to notice what God thought about it. It says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia." Now he's talking about 10 years previous. He's reflecting back. He goes back 10 years when this church was initiated or was born. And he said, "I departed from Macedonia. No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and having received of Epaphroditus the thing which was sent from you." Now look at this, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. You don't find that expression attached when individuals are tithing to the Lord. We all should do that. One of the elementary things about this matter of giving in the Scriptures, you see, I believe that any kind of offering that we give to the Lord, it always should be, there always should be, take these things, every offering, everything we give to the Lord should be biblical in principle, purpose, and practice. Every gift, everything we give to the Lord should be in principle, purpose, and practice. That is, somewhere gathered in the truths of God's Word, we can find principles of why we give and what we give to, knowing that the Lord is pleased with it, or knowing that the Lord will use it, or knowing that the Lord will bless it. So we should, as we give missionary giving today, as you give and give indication what you're going to give, it should be today that what we're doing can be found in the scriptures. The principles and the purpose and the practice should be able to be found in the Bible. And here we find a principle about giving to missions. May I say to you, there's very few places in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we can read and say, that is a missionary offering. Or that was given for missionaries. We're not going to find that, but we are going to find in the scriptures, we're going to find principles, and we're going to find promises, and we're going to find purpose, and we're going to find those that are practicing it, and we can gather that information, we can gather those principles, and we can gather the purpose, and we can gather the practice. We come to the conclusion, this is what God meant, and this is what God uses to support missionaries on the field. Now, where are some of those designated offerings in the Bible? You know, in the New Testament, we have designated offerings in the Old Testament. There's a designated offering for the tabernacle. And in Exodus chapter 35 and 36, where that plea went out from Moses, and the people began to bring those materials and those valuables and their gold and their silver and the jewels and the materials that we used to fabricate the tabernacle. And that went out, that was a designated offering. And then when David presented to the people in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where he gives them a plea, when he gives them an opportunity to give for the provision of the temple and how they responded, that was a designated offering. We find other offerings in the Bible that were designated. Time prevents us from looking at them, but the idea is there's designated offerings in the Bible. And I believe, I've been convinced, there is such a thing in the scriptures by principle, purpose, and practice. There's such a thing as that we should give, designate to missionaries or designate into the future and designate so individuals can get to the field. I believe there's such a thing as a designated offering that's given for missions. I think we find the principle and the practice here in the book of Philippians. It was this group that gave to the extended and to the needs of the Apostle Paul, and he responds to that. But where would we find details for such a thing as designated giving? How can I know that what I'm giving and how I'm giving pleases the Lord? Well, we know this. We know that this sacrifice that was made by the church of Philippi brought about an odor and a sweet-smelling savor to God. He states that. That's not just an expression to be had or take up space. It's a fact that God is well pleased. And when Paul said, I am so appreciative for your prayers. I'm so appreciative of your support. I'm so appreciative that you met my needs. You don't know how thankful I am. But then he reminded them, not only am I thankful, not have I noticed it, but God noticed it. And he adds a promise to it. Here's an exceptional promise. What Christian has not opened the Bible at times of need in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and said this, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful statement. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful truth that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's comforting. That's encouraging. But may I remind you, that was God's response. That was Paul giving this word to this church who had responded to the needs of the Apostle Paul, enabled him to and sustained him in the place. And he said that to a church corporately. He did not say that necessarily to individuals. He said it to those individuals in the corporate body of that church that gave to the needs of the Apostle Paul. My God, Paul said, you've taken care of me, and God is no debtor to those individuals that sustain his work. God will take care of you. I have now been in the ministry for 37 years. I give testimony this morning. God does take care of us. God provides for us. My people have been gracious to me. They've taken care of my family for all these years and have met our needs. But I know that there's a reason for that. I know that God is the one that intervenes. God is the one that touches their heart. God is the one that's been the primary and the instigator of my needs being fulfilled. But I also have to give testimony. I think I've learned, my wife and I have learned years ago, that God reveals that there's a designated offering that can be given for the world that needs Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's a sacred offering. It's a sacrificial offering that can be given. And I want us to think that way today, that this offering that we're about to give to the Lord is holy. It's something that's sacred. and we do it on purpose, and we do it by principle. Now, if that's true, if designated giving, if there's principles to it and there's promises attached to it, where in the Bible does it tell us how to give a designated offering to God? I think the best place, I think the most significant place, I believe the most elaborate place is, and you're well aware of it, is Second Corinthians chapter 8, where we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, we find this designated offering that was to be given, not deliberately, not necessarily to a mission endeavor, but has been given to the poor saints in Jerusalem who are struggling in their lives and the essentials of life and carrying on in life. And an offering was to be raised by other Christians in other parts of the world, other parts of the known world. And the church at Corinth was going to participate in that offering. And the churches of Macedonia, which included the church at Philippi, was going to be involved in that offering. It is this offering, it is this designated offering, that we learn principles about the giving, a designated offering for the furtherance and sustaining God's word and His work. Now look at, and we'll be closed, we just have 5 minutes. For 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's some characteristics about a designated offering that are principles as to all designated offerings that we give to the Lord, I believe. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God, which was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." Well, this is a lesson on designated giving. There's some obvious things here. First of all, these people that gave at time to this designated offering, they gave during times of great trials and difficulties. If there's ever a time in which we're tested in giving to the Lord, it's during a time of trials and difficulty. If there's ever a time in which we're tried about giving or tried, it becomes a challenge to give. It has to do with we have lack, not much, and when we're abased, not abounding. And yet, you know, that is when I think the Bible reveals when God is pleased, because it takes a greater measure of grace. It certainly takes another measure of faith and trust in the Lord and to give to Him in a time of shortage. I don't know of another time. I have been in Michigan years ago and went and faced a recession, moved away and went to two more in New England. But in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like this. Where there's so many people that have lost their homes. We have three people in our church lost their homes. And we did everything we could to try to prevent that from happening. And then people losing their jobs. We've faced that in New England. Michigan has felt much of the brunt of that. But let's be reminded that in history and in the scriptures, God's people were always able to do it. God commanded them to do or requested them to do. God's capable. You know, the Bible in Psalm 78, the question is that, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And the children of Israel are great examples of God's capability of taking care of His children, irregardless of where they are. They can be in the middle of the desert, irregardless where God's children. When Elijah was at the brook Cherith, God supplied his need. And then he told him to go to Zarephath, and a widow would sustain him. These peculiar ways, these unusual ways, in these times of shortage, God proved himself that he can provide. And so I think we need to be reminded that if we're going to give to the Lord designated offerings, first of all, we have to have an element of faith. We have to believe that God can and will supply. But this other element that's found here, this incredible means by which God enables us to do anything and everything in the Christian life. You know, the Bible says we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I think we'd all agree that we're saved by grace. Aren't we glad of that? I'm glad the Lord has not made it some difficult way to approach Him. I'm glad for His free grace. That means we don't deserve it, but God provided it. We're saved by grace. Paul, as he suffered and gave testimony and asked the Lord three times to take away his affliction, and the Bible says, the Lord responded, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think probably many of you give testimony that His grace is sufficient in suffering. Paul could give indication that Paul's give invitation that God's grace was sufficient in serving. We cannot serve the Lord adequately, appropriately, certainly not with energy. I see your preacher get up here. I appreciate seeing that energy and enthusiasm. I like that. And I appreciate the energy, but I think about it, and I want to be like that. I want to have that energy, but my body doesn't cooperate with me so often. And my head does not cooperate with me, and some of you can. But I do know this. The older I get as a Christian, I need more grace than ever. I need more grace than ever. Grace to save, grace to serve, and grace in suffering. But there's also this grace in sacrificing and giving to the Lord. The Lord enables us to give. The Lord enables us to have. And He enables us to do what we think we cannot do in times of trial, in times of poverty. This church had gone through trials and poverty. But not only that, they gave liberally. They gave more than was expected. More than was expected, humanly speaking. Then the amazing thing is that it says they first gave of themselves. They gave of themselves before they gave their offerings to the Lord. And I want you to know, based on God's word, this is an odor and a sweet-smelling savor to our God, our Father.